For NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Jasmine Garst in Mexico City. Felix Contreras is out today. This week on Alt Latino, we want to remember the music of a true legend of Latin rock, Gustavo Cerati. You can really say that there is a before and after the Argentine musician hit the scene. Gustavo Cerati and his band, Soda Stereo, came around in the early 80s, and they truly created the Latin American rock star and opened doors for other Latin American rock stars to come. Cerati died on September 4th. And as soon as I heard of the news of his passing, I called up a friend and colleague, Ernesto Lechner, who co-hosts a wonderful show called The Latin Alternative. We were just reminiscing about our favorite Cerati songs and our favorite Soda Stereo songs, and we decided to do a show about this just fantastic, legendary musician's body of work. Ernesto, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Jasmine, and also Felix for inviting me. This is going to be great. We're going to spend an hour talking about Gustavo Cerati and his one-of-a-kind band from Argentina, Soda Stereo, so this is going to be great.
Ernesto, I want to start us off with one of my absolute favorite Soda Stereo songs. This is Un Misil en Mi Placar, or A Missile in My Closet. Song, it's really fun, and it's very party-like, right? And it's really like Soda Stereo was a super talented band fronted by this amazing charismatic musician Gustavo Cerati, and it also, I think, Ernesto, you'd agree that it came on the scene at the right time. You know, it's like Argentina and Latin America was ready for a big rock band.
It's like, in a way, a symbolic coming of age for rock and roll in Latin America, because in the 60s and 70s, you had a lot of bands and some superlative musicians, also some great albums. But there was definitely a constant aping of what was happening in England and the US. You know, first imitating the Beatles and then the Stones and then Dylan. And then in the 70s, you had this sad case of all these Argentinian bands with cheap keyboards trying to recreate the soundscapes of progressive rock, trying to imitate Yes and Genesis. And I have to tell you, Jasmine, it didn't sound too good. Now, I think in a way, Soda Stereo, for me, it's very interesting in the case of Gustavo Cerati, because you have, what an amazing development as a songwriter, as a guitarist, as a producer. We've talked about this before. I'm really not crazy about the early Soda Stereo stuff. I think it was pivotal. I think it was very important, emblematic for, in a way, the opportunity that Latin America found to have its own rock and roll heroes. But at the beginning, Soda Stereo sounded really like a copy of The Police and The Cure, and they dressed up like they were like the members of the Human League or Kajagoogoo. I mean, it was really, you know, an obsession, a fetish with British New Wave. And then that's when I think then it started getting interesting. Once they became famous, one Latin American embraced them, when they started touring all over the stadiums of Latin America, and they took that opportunity and ran with it to create some wonderful music. But yeah, I think Soda Stereo was the one band, wouldn't you say, that really enabled Latin America to have its own iconic rock stars.
Definitely. And I think what was happening in Latin America, you know, this song, I think this song is really funny because, you know, in a lot of interviews, Gustavo Cerati has said it's about a vibrator. You know, it's about a guy. It's very, like, funny narrative. He's with his wife. He's a very conservative guy. And then he suddenly realizes there's a vibrator in her closet. It's a missile in her closet. But I think there's also like this undertone of like melancholy in the song. And you know, in other interviews, some of the band members have also said it was kind of about the mood of Argentina. The dictatorship had just fallen across South America. A lot of dictatorships were kind of starting to falter or fall. And also, you know, Argentina had just embarked on this disastrous war, the Falklands War with England. And it was definitely about this feeling. Like, there's some really sad lyrics in there. Like, you know, I looked at you sadly. There's no more time to lose. A missile in my closet. Like, just suddenly realize, you know, one of my favorite lyrics from that song is actually what? Aquí también, o pensabas que estamos lejos. You know, it's here. Or did you think we were far away? And to me, it just, Soda Stereo represents, like, the early Soda Stereo represents this desire to, like, have fun and party, but, like, this wariness of, we just finished this really brutal decade.
No, you're right. And also, I think from the very beginning, Gustavo Cerati was a very witty writer of lyrics. He had a great sense of humor. He also had a keen understanding of the elements that make up a melancholy tune. And of course, as we move forward into his career, that will become more evident. So I think next is another early Soda Stereo hit.
Picnic in Apartment 4B.
Now, this is from the fourth album by Soda Stereo. This is from Doble Vida in 1988, and the band was already rich and famous, so they had the privilege of going to New York City to record with producer Carlos Alomar. It seemed at the time as they could do no wrong. I was still, at that moment in 88, not a fan of the band, because we should also talk about the two tendencies that happened at the same time concurrently in Argentina. On the one hand, you had the band for the middle class, upper middle class, like Soda Stereo, definitely with an icy influence of The Cure and all the British bands and the New Wave. And then you had the more populist band playing ska and Afro-Caribbean rhythms, Los Fabulosos Cadillacs, another great Argentinian band that also broke records.
Right.
So I was definitely more into the tropical aspect, the Afro-Caribbean, the earthy side of Fabulosos Cadillacs. And of course, they were like two different, right? Like a soccer sort of antagonism. There were some people who liked Soda and some people who liked the Cadillacs. So I need to ask you now, where did you belong in that battle, so to speak?
You know, by the time I was a teenager, I guess for early Soda Stereo songs, I have a much more nostalgic retrospective, you know, almost like nostalgia for an era I never lived in, right? By the time I was a teenager, Soda Stereo was breaking up. And in the early 2000s. And definitely when I was growing up in the 90s, it wasn't cool to like Soda Stereo, because Soda Stereo represented the 80s. And they represented like this era that was just not, it was very happy in Argentina. You know, it was almost debauchery and happiness and party. And I grew up in the 90s in Argentina, in the late 90s, in a really dark, macabre Argentina that was like pre-apocalyptic. Like it was going down. Something bad was about to happen. And, you know, definitely it was a lot cooler to like bands like Los Cadillacs and Los Redonditos de Ricota that had a much more dark undertone, and certainly a much more like Latin sound. But I actually really liked Soda. And I think the reason I like Soda so much is because they reminded me of a happier time in which I never lived, you know? They reminded me of like a happy era that I didn't get to enjoy. But I do remember one time there was a talent show at my school and I really wanted to play a Soda Stereo song. And this friend of mine was like, you can't do that. You're going to get beaten up.
Well, I suggest we go back then to Jasmine's idealized Buenos Aires childhood. Listen to Soda Stereo from 1988, Picnic en el Cuarto B. We'll be right back.
You see what I'm saying about, like, just kind of like this like really happy, joyous.
Yeah, I think, I mean, definitely there was a brutal dictatorship in Argentina, just like in so many Latin American countries, during the 70s and early 80s. So when the democratic government came back, yeah, in a way, in fact, the dictatorial government had a problem with rock and roll, just like it did in Brazil. So there was a lot of, you know, the lyrics were censored and altered. It was just ridiculous. So there was an outburst of joy for sure in Buenos Aires, in Argentina, in the 80s. And yeah, I think Soda Stereo reflects that. But I think mostly they reflect this tendency that we have in Latin America, that whatever is happening in England and the US, we just start imitating that and creating our own version of that. And I think that definitely Soda Stereo fell prey to that tendency, because they were so much into all the cliches, all the sonic and aesthetic cliches of the new wave. But then, see, this is where it gets really interesting, that then they were able to completely overcome that and create something beautiful and mystical almost. They created a real brand of authentic Latin American rock and roll. And before we get to that, let's play maybe one of the biggest hits of early Soda Stereo. This is just an iconic song throughout Latin America from 1986, the third album by Soda Stereo, Persiana Americana. Con esa voz impostada, ¿viste? Esa voz impostada como a flock of seagulls, ¿viste?
Sí, es muy Bowie, muy... ¿cómo se llama el tipo? Muy Billy Idol.
Sí, ¿no? Sí, total, uy. Olvídate, Eyes Without a Face, sí, totalmente. Soy un espía, un espectador.
Yeah. I'm very curious, Ernesto, about your picks. And you brought the song Amor Amarillo.
Yeah, I think two really important things happen here for Soda Stereo and for Gustavo Cerati. And of course, I don't think we failed to mention at this point, because we take so much about for granted about Soda Stereo. You know, Soda Stereo was a trio, and it was Gustavo Cerati, basically the absolute leader, much like Sting in The Police. And he was the principal songwriter, the lead guitarist, and the singer. So he had all the power in the world, of course. And then there was Zeta Bosio, an excellent bassist, and then Charlie Alberti in drums and percussion. So that was the band. And now then two things happened, like I said, in the early 90s. First of all, Gustavo Cerati travels to London and witnesses a live show by The Orb. And he falls in love head over heels with electronica. And he decides, of course, much like he did in the 80s with New Wave, that from now on his soundscapes and his songs should be informed by this new sonic revolution of electronic, and especially ambient. He has this thing about for ambient music. So that's number one. And then, of course, because Soda Stereo was so popular and so successful, what happens immediately, the ghost, right, of a possible breakup, all these tensions in the group. And they took a break, in fact. The future of Soda Stereo was uncertain. Around 1993, when Cerati is now married, he's expecting his first child, I think, and he retreats to Chile and records with his wife a solitary, introspective solo album seeped in electronica. And in a way, I'm thinking of right after the Beatles broke up, that Paul McCartney retreated into the countryside with Linda, and they did Ram, which is a fantastic album. There's something about these introspective albums when your band is about to break up or just broke up that generates some serious pop genius. Amor Amarillo is just a perfect album. It's almost like a monochromatic album, Amor Amarillo, Yellow Love. Yes, it's like a yellow record. It's like a painter's record. My best friend is a painter, and I've spent hours watching him paint, listening to Amor Amarillo. It's really this pristine, this beautifully recorded album of electronic pop. So let's listen to the title track. Let's see if you like it, Jasmine. Amor Amarillo, Gustavo Cerati, first solo album before breaking up Soda Stereo in 1993. We'll be right back.
Ernesto, I think you're so right on in like saying that. So yes, Soda Stereo was a legendary band for a lot of reasons, not least of them because, you know, they really made rock and roll popular throughout in the entire Latin American continent. But they also made record labels take note, right? And all of a sudden it was like, wait, we can make money with rock, which opened the doors, for better or for worse, you know, this idea of making money with rock and roll for a lot of Latin bands. But I do think you're right in that, like, the real, like, genius of Gustavo Cerati as a musician becomes apparent in his solo career. I do think the Argentine rock scene is very much stuck on a certain sound. It's changing a little now, but it's very stuck on like this old rock and roll sound. And I think Cerati had this vision of going beyond it and experimenting with like electronica and ambience and going beyond that like 70s, 80s guitar rock sound.
I agree with you. I think there were three bands in Argentine rock that changed everything, that expanded things, that made it cool to be eclectic. And for sure, Soda Stereo and Cerati as a solo artist, and then Los Fabulosos Cadillacs in their development, in their later records, and of course, Babasónicos in the new millennium. What I really like about Cerati, and the Beatles in a way did something similar, is that Cerati began his career with Soda, with all these commercial poppy singles that were easy to hum, they were very commercial. People, you know, fell in love with them. But then, just like Paul and John did in the Beatles, Gustavo sort of grabs the fans by the hand and tells them, hey, I'm going to take you to a different landscape, more exotic, more sophisticated. You're going to be shocked. You're going to be amazed. You're going to learn something new as well. And then he took us to electronica, to ambient, to lounge, to psychedelia. And the track that I picked now that we're going to listen to, it's from the last album by Soda Stereo. This is Sueño Stereo in 1995. And at the time that this record came out, Jasmine, I was just starting. I was just getting started as a music critic here in the United States. And to be honest, I didn't really care that much about Soda. Of course, I respected how important they were, but I didn't care for them musically. And then I remember I received an envelope from Sony BMG, I think it was, with Sueño Stereo. And it's like my head exploded. I mean, this was just a beautiful record. It was a work of art. It was as good as anything by The Police or Pink Floyd, in fact. It was this combination, this beautiful combination of Beatlesque psychedelia with electronica. And it was very much Anglo. Rooted in all the developments of popular music, of mainstream popular music, but it was also so South American and so Argentinian in an oblique way, in an ambiguous way. So I want us to listen to one of the tracks that is widely considered as Soda's best. This is towards the end, when Sueño Stereo is a very long record. It's like a dreamy album. And when it's about to end, there's like a suite. There's like a three-part suite that has an instrumental in the middle, Explayo, and a very sad, melancholy, sparsely arranged song called Muare at the very end of the record. And this is Soda Stereo saying goodbye to the world. And before that, the first element in this suite is this great sort of Pink Floydish track called Planta. So from 1995, Sueño Stereo, in my opinion, Soda Stereo's happiest hour, this is Planta.
Sabia, sabia por mi cuerpo. Como oro de Acapulco, hoy preparándome. No sé qué me pasa. quizá no puedo volver.
By now, Soda Stereo is history. They did el último concierto, this double album recorded live, where Gustavo Cerati says goodbye by saying gracias totales, which became a very popular phrase since then in Argentina. And then his solo career begins in earnest with an amazing album called Bocanada. And Bocanada is his second solo album, and of course the first one after Soda Stereo split up, so the anticipation was huge. But this is 1999, and in my opinion, this is the absolute apex of Latin rock. I mean, it just, the genre just exploded at the time. You had Café Tacuba from Mexico, Aterciopelados from Colombia, Babasónicos, Los Cadillacs in Argentina, El Otro Yo. You had electronica and hip-hop. You had... it was just a beautiful moment. All these acts that I mentioned releasing their very best albums. Just an embarrassment of riches. So I think in a way it was contagious for Cerati as well. I do think that Bocanada is his finest album of his entire career. It was just a very subtle exploration of electronica with a little bit of lounge. It had some really bizarre, beautiful instrumentals in it. And it also has the song that I picked for today, which is my my all-time favorite Gustavo Cerati show. This is Aquí Ahora, and I just love Cerati. You know, I interviewed him a number of times, and he told me that he was very lazy about writing lyrics, that he just hated writing lyrics. He always wrote the, of course, with his guitar, he wrote the music first, and then at the very last moment, he did the lyrics because he just had to do them, right? So, but in this case, Aquí Ahora has just a perfect lyric. It's a very Zen lyric, and it basically says, everything is here and now. Todo está aquí y ahora. It's just a magical track that segues into an instrumental. We're not going to listen to that today, but here is the first portion of it, the song Aquí Ahora from Gustavo Cerati's Bocanada. We're switching to a misunderstood album, I feel. This is the record Siempre Soy from 2002. And I'm going to do like a little mea culpa here, Jasmine, because I didn't give it a positive review when it came out. I reviewed it for the LA Times. And I just sort of didn't understand the record completely. It was a very extended record, many, many songs, over 70 minutes long. And it wasn't as mysterious and seductive as Bocanada. And it's interesting how music works, isn't it? Because in the years since 2002, I have revisited and played that record again and learned to love it. So I guess a public apology that I was wrong about being a little overcritical of Siempre Soy. I picked a track called Karaoke. I don't know if you know it, Jasmine, but it's really bubbly and poppy. Like a different side of Gustavo Cerati.
You also told me that the lyrics are really poisonous. What do you mean? Talk to me about that.
Oh, absolutely. He was being just wicked because he had gotten a divorce from his wife, Cecilia Amenábar, the mother of his two kids. And you know how rock stars can be a little venomous at times. So this Karaoke is actually this really evil song with all these put-downs towards his former wife, who at the time had her own television show. So there's a mention of after the concert, after Cerati's concert, his band congregating backstage to watch her show, and something about all this conduct being shameless and whatnot. And it's interesting because there's this poisonous lyric mixed in with this just bubbly, you know, all these instruments, all these keyboards, this really hooky chorus. So it's just brilliant, a little perverse but brilliant. So here it is, Gustavo Cerati, Karaoke.
Thank you.
You know what, like, I always feel with Celestereo and with Cerati that they can, like, totally go back and forth in time, because I'm thinking about the track I brought that we started with, Un Misile Mi Placar. A lot of listeners wrote in. Actually, I have to say, I think we've never had so many listeners write in as when Gustavo Cerati died. And we were bombarded by emails and letters. And a lot of listeners wrote in talking about the MTV Unplugged and what a, how wonderful that album was. And I was just thinking about how Un Misil en Mi Placar, the super 80s song, Cerati reinvented it with in a very orchestral, cinematic vibe that you wouldn't be able to tell it was an 80s song. And I'm saying that because with this song, Karaoke, I do feel like it's really reminiscent of Soda's early 80s work.
Yeah, I agree with you. Also, that Unplugged was very special. It was released in 1996, and it started with a cover of En la Ciudad de la Furia, performed as a duet with Andrea Echeverri from Colombia's Aterciopelados. And of course, all the songs were revisited with very subtle arrangements. So, but then again, Cerati could surprise you, and I think the song, our final song today, it's from the 2006 album, Ahí Vamos. And in the cover, it's a stark, dark cover where you see just the silhouette of Gustavo Cerati holding an electric guitar. And that's what it was. Ahí Vamos was a return to explosive rock and roll. It was just an awesome record. I got to see Cerati in concert promoting that album twice, once in LA and once in Buenos Aires at the mythical Estadio Obras. And I really liked it that he could do that. He could engineer a return to the roots and do all these rock and roll songs. But still, they were very sophisticated, great arrangements, all these musical ideas. He even did a conventional ballad called Crimen that was really nice. Because an artist as brilliant as Cerati, he can work within the context of a conventional ballad and still make it very interesting. So I wrote La Excepción. It's sort of like one of the most iconic tracks of that Ahí Vamos record. It's great when Cerati picked up his electric guitar and started to rock.
Able to produce fantastic pop, do great electronic, wonderful 80s dance tunes, and you know, when the time called for it, he could pick up his guitar and just rock out.
So we can always think about all the marvelous records he would have made. You know, he fell into a coma years ago. He was 50 only, so it's really very sad to think. On the one hand, I think it's very sad to think he would have made all this beautiful music. On the other hand, I think that considering that he lived for only 54, but four of those were spent in a coma, I think that Cerati created just a prodigious body of work that, you know, generations to come are going to be enjoying all that music. So muchas gracias, Gustavo Cerati, wherever you are.
Y muchas gracias, Ernesto. It's been so much fun. I always love when you come on our show, and I always love talking to you, and I couldn't imagine doing a show about Gustavo Cerati with anybody else. Thank you so much for swinging by.
Thank you so much for having me, Jasmine.
You can hear every single song we've played on this week's show on our website. We are npr.org/altlatino. Make sure to drop in and tell us what your favorite Cerati and Soda Stereo memories and music and albums are. You can also do that on our social media. We are NPR's Alt Latino, and we're on Facebook, and we are on Twitter. Felix Contreras will be back next week. This has been Alt Latino. I'm Jasmine Garst in Mexico City.